I'm on the phone right now with Aldo Brazzetti. Aldo, thanks for joining me.
Hey, you're welcome.
Tell me where you grew up.
I grew up right here in Johnson City, New York, the Binghamton, Endicott area, home of IBM and Endicott Johnson Shoes in the old days.
How did you meet Russ Hallett?
Russ Hallett and I were schoolmates, and he was kind of singing, maybe, I don't know, 54, 55, singing and trying to strum the guitar, and that's kind of how I met him.
So you were in a music class, or it was just someplace that he was practicing?
No, we were just in school, and he was going to do a couple of little different things at record hops, and I had studied guitar since I was 9 years old. Of course, that was before Elvis and everybody else. So I was into a lot of music and jazz, and I had played in a jazz band. So when Elvis hit the scene, and Russ had the perfect voice for that, and Buddy Knox, that kind of thing, it was just show Russ the chords, and we were off. And we played a couple of the local record hops that the DJs used to run, and it was just easy, just Russ and I. We used to go by Russ and his pal Al.
Russ and his pal.
Yeah, 1955.
You got together with Russ and you formed a band.
You know, it was just so easy. It was like, you know, we had personalities that didn't clash, and I knew what I could do and help him a little bit. And he had a great voice, and it was easy. We were friends, you know what I mean? So to start off friends, it's really easy to get the thing going. And we did that probably 3 years, right through high school, and at the end of the high school, we picked up another classmate that happened to be a drummer, hadn't played much, but we picked him up and made the group, and that's how we started with a trio.
Do you remember the specifics of your agent and how he got you the audition at the Tadaro studio?
Well, I don't know. No, I had mentioned this to Russ, if he remembered our booking agent, Bob Cullens from Binghamton.
Mm-hmm.
And he had handled Pat Manafort and a couple other groups locally here. And somehow, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the name of Dick Biondi. It used to be a DJ.
Yes.
He grew up in Endicott, apparently, and then was a DJ, maybe in Chicago, I want to say, someplace in the West. Somehow, Dick Biondi knew Phil Tadaro from Buffalo, and Biondi kind of influenced Bob Cullens towards this guy that, you know, had the recording studio and had contact with Tom Shannon. You know, he was a pretty popular DJ in Buffalo at the time. And so somehow that's where that involvement came. And, you know, Bob Cullens kind of lined the thing up for us originally to go up there and record.
Russ mentioned that not only did you record Frosty and I think Blueberry Hill. Do you remember any of the other songs that you recorded? And then we'll go back to Frosty.
Ryan, you know, this is the cute part. I was trying to remember the name of it, and I think that I want to call it Downshift. Frosty originally was just an instrumental that I wrote and did, and we used to play. So naturally, when they had some kind of brainstorm between Phil and Tom to put the words to it, I thought that was cool. It was okay. They did it. But Blueberry Hill was probably song number 13. On what we thought was maybe like a 12-track album.
Mm.
We put up pretty much 8 or 10 of our really good songs, did a couple of other cover ones, and then he's still going, well, maybe we need something else or one more. We just kind of threw that in there. Absolutely nothing to my technical skills or anything like that. So that was a knee slapper when that came out on the flip side. He had a choice of picking, I mean, really, 8 or 9 really super, what we thought were vocals, more identifiable with the group. And it was just like, what is this? Like one of our worst deals they got to put on it besides.
I know it's been 45 years, but do you remember any of those other songs that you did?
Yeah, I certainly do. One of Russ's that he originally had written, I mean, when we were in high school, was Battle Cry. And I can't really remember too many of the names of it, but it was kind of a semi-ballad, not really into rock yet, and Russ and I had collaborated then after we started traveling and doing the college gigs, and before we went to the recording, we used to be on the road traveling to jobs, and I would say, okay, now, in the key of C, Russ, this is what I got, and I would just strum a few of the chords, and I would try to get him to get some words, and we came up with Chalypso Girl, was a real kind of a nice cha-cha-cha thing there in the beginning of the 60s. Battle Cry, Chalypso Girl, Only Love is another one that Russ and I collaborated on, kind of still a semi-ballad, not really hard rock. And, you know, picking from there, I have to get in the memory file.
That's okay.
Those three stand on the top of my mind, like I say, besides the instrumentals that I had done.
Somebody, Shannon Todaro, maybe both of them, then decided to release Frosty with Blueberry Hill. Did you like the fact that Shannon's vocals were on Frosty?
You have to understand, we did all these tunes, 12 or 13, plus did the lead-in for Shannon's theme for his radio show In and Out.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent the summer talking with Phil and or Tom whenever we could get a hold of them, and they would say, I'm pretty sure that it was going to be Calypso Girl or Battle Cry. One of those two songs were going to be released. So we waited basically most of the summer, but we were flying high because every night Tom Shannon would open with our jingle for the theme song, open and close, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, okay, anytime now, it's a go, anytime. Next thing is, Frosty comes out. We say, what in the heck is this? So, you know, we tried to appease ourselves with whatever they were selling us with, like, yeah, okay, well, this, we're going to do yours. We just wanted to get this out because we thought Tom could help you, you know, jumpstart you. You know, this is good for you guys. You know, Tom Shannon's going to push this and blah, blah, blah. It didn't bother me that he talked over the instrumental. It might have been a cool idea, but at the same time, you know, it wasn't what we expected. And then it didn't wind up to be anything that, you know, gave us any recognition either.
When the Rockin' Rebels came out with Wild Weekend and you heard that one on the radio, what were you thinking then?
That was the coup de grace because by that time, we still didn't have a record release. And here was our jingle that we wrote. It's out there. It's for sale. It's somebody else. And we're trying to say, this is our song. No, we wrote this song. Everybody's going, yeah, no, that's the Buffalo Rebels, Tom Shannon. No, you guys don't get it. You don't understand. This is our song. This is what we did. Say, yeah, well, you know, that's their song. So it was infuriating, and then it was, I'm like going, Russ, not only are these guys getting this playtime, but look at, they are on Dick Clark. They are on Bandstand. What in the hell happened to us? What did we do? I mean, what did we do to deserve it? You know, it just went down like that for 5, 6, 7 months. And at one point, I don't really remember the timing of it, but I do remember referencing to Russ that we actually went to Buffalo and searched for Phil Todaro because we couldn't get any straight answers. And by then, the studio was vacant that he had apparently rented. And what we really wanted was that master tape, you know, because we had spent 2 or 3 different days in Buffalo recording all this stuff. We thought, well, if we just get this and we'll just go to a different record company because in the meantime, Bob Collins had another contact in New York, Jack Gold and Gold Records.
Mm-hmm.
And we had taken a trip down there with Montefort and his group. Collins was so poor that they only had so much studio time, and we got a music track down but never got Russ's vocals down. Supposed to go back, and that never worked out either.
Mm.
So to go back to the original thing is, yeah, everybody else got something released. Here's all our work in the can someplace in Todaro's studio, and we don't know where, and we can't get it. It was tough to handle that somebody else had the song out and was going to reap some benefits. I guess apparently in the end they didn't really get any money, but to me it was still recognition or validation. It's Dick Clark. You're doing some kind of road appearances. You know, you're pretty popular. You got a song on the air.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things all kind of made it rough for us.
So after that, I suppose, quieted down, and you just continued to play local gigs in the area and the colleges and such?
Exactly. I mean, we had spent probably that 6 or 7 months with any time we had a gig in a local area here, the paper would kind of reference us, you know, Vim recording artists or Todaro studio artists, you know, waiting to have such and such release. Some of those little newspaper clippings from the music ad I still have somewhere tucked away in my store.
Mm. Just to clarify for people that are listening to the interview, Vim recording artists, Vim was the label that Frosty came out on.
Exactly. But then I think they had another one where it was on Phi Tom, as in Phil and Tom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of them was black, one of them was pink. I think I have one pink one left. We had to actually go out and buy some of those, and then I wound up given them to family and friends over the years, and it's okay, last one, I'm saving it.
And so what you're saying then is it came out on both labels?
Yes, I think they had a couple of different times that they probably released, you know, a small amount, you know, in the New York market, and then maybe something a little bit bigger.
What did you do after that? You undoubtedly played the music for the colleges and the different local places, but at some point...
We were really very popular here, Brian, not to really say, you know, that, you know, there was nobody else here, but we really were popular and we were lucky because we were making decent money and we were playing a lot of jobs. You know, every weekend we could have 2 and sometimes 3 gigs, and, you know, that was pretty good in those days. So we did that until the drummer, one of the first interruptions was the drummer, the original drummer, Jackson Chesky, graduated from Cortland State, and Russ had a job in town, you know, working at a bank, and I was always, if I needed to work, I could work in the family business. We had a pizzeria here. So, you know, it was easy for me, and we would travel whatever we had to do on the weekend. We did that till Jack graduated, and then he found it necessary where the parents said, okay, you're not going anywhere and you got your education, now you start teaching. So when he went into teaching, we did garner up another drummer, and we probably played for another year and a half, and Russ started to get itchy in town, and he by then had a family, had to move up in a job, and my mom had a bad accident with her back and falling down the stairs, and she was unable to work. I said, Russ, temporarily, you know, do what you got to do. We'll have to disband, and, you know, I'll go to work, you go to work, and then we'll see, you know, what happens. And that was basically the end of it. You know, it's kind of a sad thing where I was going to be temporarily doing something, and he was going to be temporarily doing something else. But then work moved him away to Florida and stuff, and, God, I didn't hear from him for like 20 years. It was like the fastest 20 years you could realize.
Huh.
I had played with a couple other bands in and out through that period, just because I, you know, really wanted to stay with it. Then I wound up having a son, and it was like, okay, better start working now, you know, no more road business.
Yeah.
I pretty much had to get into family business, and I had to do it. I had 2 older brothers that had finished college and didn't want anything to do with business, so they went off on their own, and I was kind of there with the family business. So that's what I've done right up to now, still working.
And when you were playing with the other bands after the Russ Hallett Trio, there weren't any other records made, were there?
No. Like I say, outside of the other incident where we went to New York and thought we might have something with Gold Records, we never really got another shot to go record.
Have you ever talked to Tom Shannon since then?
Absolutely not. You know, we did that first 6-7 months, and he laid everything to Phil's running the business type of thing, and yet he's going to do this or he's going to do that, and I'm just a DJ. But after that first year, I don't really know if he immediately went to some other station out west. He went somewhere. You know, that was the end of any kind of communication, because really once I didn't have Russ, you know, after 64 or 65, then it was like, I got nothing to call him for either. What's the sense? So we just kind of let it go after that year.
Well, let's give a plug for your business that you have now.
That's simple for my last name. It's Brosetti's Pizza. It's a takeout pizza only. We've been in the same building at 72 Baldwin Street in Johnson City since 1949.
Wow.
Family-owned pizzeria, third generation coming. I have my son involved with us now. It's been a hell of a ride. My folks were making pizza before there was pizza known. I mean, I'm talking about 1949. And when I was in high school, people used to ask me, you know, what they did or what was at the store there. Did we make hot pies? We used to have to call them hot pies. Nobody knew what pizza was. And that's what we did. I don't know if Russ told you the rest of that story where I finally decided in 1980 or so, I was going to have my song back. And I was going to have Tom Shannon or Phil Todaro come and sue me for stealing their song.
Go ahead and tell the story.
Brian, this is a grab. I just took that same melody from Wild Weekend, and I had to add one note because Tommy Shannon Show, I went to this here, a phone number for my business. 7979960. All bros ready for pizza to go. I'll tell you, I had a couple of friends, guitar player and drummer. So we have to record this. We recorded it. I used it constantly on the radio for our advertising. Anytime I advertise, I always use that jingle. There are hundreds of people in and out of this area that say, who wrote that song? That is the catchiest thing. Anytime they think of pizza, they think of 797996. So call Brosetti's for pizza to go. I stayed right with it. Since 80, we're probably looking at 30 years, and Tom Shannon never came and said, I stole his song.
I don't think he could do that.
That was the thought in my process way back there when I started that one. But I even did that thing with the Dancing Baby when Allie McBeal was big.
Yeah.
I was sitting there in the center playing the guitar, playing the jingle, and the Dancing Baby going around me with pizza in his hand. It was a comical.
Oh, wow.
We got some mileage out of the song anyway.
Do you have any plans to play any more music in a band?
Oh, God, yeah. Probably desperately in the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, I kind of set it aside for quite a while, you know, and I'd play, pick it up maybe, you know, once every 6-7 months. But in the last few years, I got another friend that's a guitar teacher. He's fellow's 53, and he's pretty knowledgeable. He knows a lot of different songs, plays a lot of bands. So I'll enjoy going with him into his studio and, you know, run over a few songs, try to pick up a couple of new ones. So I always think, well, our second drummer, Jerry Turok, that went into service when we disbanded, came back to this area, and he's worked at BAE engineering type systems.
Uh-huh.
And he's getting ready to retire in about a year, so I said, okay, anytime, Jerry, we'll get ready and we'll get the band back together. So we're still talking about getting, playing a few jobs.
Well, Aldo, is there anything you'd like to mention that I may have missed?
Boy, I don't think so. I think we made you cover the gamut. I hope I didn't bend your ear, but that's really what comes to my mind when you talk about the song and the jingle and Shannon. And it's kind of a frustrating experience, but there's nothing greater than 40 years later, picking at the internet and seeing validation. This is our song. That's all that matters to me. It makes it easier than telling that long story, Brian. That's how I really appreciate it.
Well, Aldo, thank you so much for spending some time with me and talking about it.
You're welcome.